Pastor LaRue, Pastor Anna, love you guys, love this house. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. This is going to be your best year yet. Are you ready? Are you ready to be overtaken by the blessings of God in your life this year? I believe this is going to be a year where God's blessings overtake us. I mean, just a pile on of God's blessings where you can't even contain it. It's going to be the year of uncontainable blessings. Praise God. There is an open heaven here this morning, which is a really good thing. And like, I'm standing here, my visionary thing is like going wild here this morning as I step into this atmosphere. Cause you know, whenever there's a pure atmosphere of God, you know, visions just open up. You just step right into that place and see in the spirit. So it's like, I saw this morning the clouds part like this, and it's like I see a rocket ship and God's saying, get ready to launch. This morning I'm launching you straight up. I'm launching you straight up into an unhindered realm of the supernatural breakthrough of God. It's like what I see is anything that tried to be a ceiling over your life last year, God is saying, I am moving those things away. I am pushing those things aside. And God is saying, I am clearing the airwaves. I'm clearing the air over your life. And the ceiling that tried to contain you, God says there is no ceiling. God says there is no ceiling. No ceiling. You're going to be like a rocket ship that goes swoop straight up. High velocity, high octane, high power, swoop straight up. Woo! And what I see this year, it's like God is saying that the ceiling, the things in your life that tried to contain you in your past season, God is saying the season is now your floor. The season is now your floor. And God says what you thought was the end, God said it's the beginning. God is turning dead ends into new beginnings. I want you to hear this today. Everything you thought was a dead end in your life. Everything you thought that was an impossibility. Everything that you thought, well, certainly I can't get this breakthrough in my marriage, or I can't have this breakthrough in my family, or I can't have this breakthrough in my finances, or I can't. Whatever dead end you thought you hit in your past season, God is saying your dead end is now becoming a new beginning. The ceiling is becoming the floor. The dead end is becoming the new beginning. God is clearing away the obstacles and He is launching you with uncontainable blessings. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, this is going to be a good year. Turn to someone and say, this is going to be a good year. Oh, Lord Jesus. Shokarabashanda. Oh, Shandarabashanda. I'm telling you are going up and you are going over. Every wall of limitation is nothing to God. It's nothing. Some of you have been facing limitations in your life. Limitations this past year, things, struggles, battles, warfare, whatever, stuff you've had to contend with and deal with and wrestle with and struggle through. Those limitations are nothing to God. They're nothing. Oh, get ready. Because what I see today is you're going up and you're going over. You're going up and you're going over. You know, God brings breakthrough in a lot of different ways. Sometimes God brings breakthrough like He did for the children of Israel, and He just took the walls and flattened them right down into the ground. I mean, sometimes God brings breakthrough like that, but sometimes God leaves the walls, but sends you over the wall. I mean, sometimes breakthrough is like God flattens the walls, but other times God's like, no, you know what? I'm going to do it different this time. where it may look like the circumstance around you that is a perceived limitation is staying the same. But God is saying, what I'm going to do in the midst of this breakthrough is even if the circumstance stays the same, even if the person stays the same, even if the outward thing stays the same, God is saying it's not going to limit you. Come on now. Even if that person's attitude stays the same, it's not going to limit you. Even if that person's behavior stays the same, it's not going to limit you. Even if a perceived external circumstance stays the same, it's not going to limit you. And it's like I got to launch off of a little part of what I shared when I was here in November. I'm going to launch off of it here. It's like Jacob had this prophetic vision for his son Joseph. And he saw Joseph being a fruitful tree planted by a well whose branches ran over the wall. And that's what you're going to be like this year. No matter what walls have surrounded your life in your past season, no matter what walls you had to deal with, you had to contend with, you had to stare at and say, God, this looks like an impossibility. I don't know how I'm going to overcome this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know, God, if I'm going to be able to get over this. God is saying, even though those walls have been there, you're going to be like Joseph, a fruitful tree. This is a year for divine fruitfulness. Supernatural divine fruitfulness, where you are planted by the well of God, planted by the well of His anointing, the well of His word, the well of His presence, and no matter what walls of limitation surround you, your roots, now listen, your roots, your breakthrough has already been in process. I want you to hear this today, where it looks like there's been no breakthrough. God says your breakthrough has already been in process. Because while you've been staring at that wall in your life, God is saying, I'm causing your roots to go so deep in me. Because the deeper your roots are, the higher your tree can grow. The deeper the root system, the stronger the tree becomes. And in those times where you felt like, God, where's the breakthrough? Where's the change? Where is it, God? What's happening, God? God is saying, no, throughout that whole season, I'm causing your roots to go so deep in me. So there is no limitation of how high your tree can grow. And what's happening now is God is causing you to be so fruitful that all those walls around you, even if they stay exactly the same, God is saying, pay it no attention. Don't even look at the wall. God says, to me, there is no wall. To me, there is no wall. Because I'm going to cause you to go up and over the wall. You're going AWOL. Come on now, this is the year for going AWOL. Everything that hindered you in your past season, it's nothing to God. You're going up and you're going over. There's no ceiling. God's kicking those obstacles out of your way. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on now, you're going to be fruitful. You're going to be fruitful. Fruitful. And I'm telling you, no devil, no person, no circumstance, no free will behavior of another individual, no matter how stressful it may be, those things cannot take the blessing of God from your life. Those things cannot stop you from being fruitful. All of the things that you thought were hindrances in your life, somehow keeping you down, keeping you back, keeping you from being able to excel and go forward, all of those perceived limitations, God is saying those things aren't limitations at all. Because you're going to be so fruitful, even if the wall stays the same. Even if that person stays the same, even if that situation stays the same, God is saying, I'm changing you. Yeah. God is saying breakthrough happens not just on the outside, breakthrough happens on the inside. And God is causing our roots to go so deep in Him that we have vision beyond the walls that are in front of us. But we see the bigger God. We see the God who is bigger than the wall. The God who is bigger than circumstance. The God who is bigger than other people. The God who's bigger. And you're going to be fruitful this year. Everyone say fruitful. Oh, fruitful. You're going to be so fruitful. Your branches are going to just grow. Oh. you're going over those walls of limits. You're going. Turn to someone and say, you're going. Okay. Shakarabanda. This is fun. This is fun. I mean, I don't know what happens. I come into this house. Pastor, you get to preach here every week. Man! This is such an amazing house. I love this house. I love this house. I walk into this house this morning. I step into worship. And I'm going to tell you the first thing I saw. The first thing I saw as I closed my eyes to worship God. And I don't even remember if I've seen this here before. I feel like I've seen it here before. But I have seen it again here today. I saw a plumb line coming down right here. I saw a plumb line. It's the first thing I saw. I was like, a plumb line, a plumb line. A plumb line. It's the first thing I saw. And I looked it up. I looked it up. He showed me in Amos 7:7. He showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall with a plumb line and a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. And the Lord said, behold, I'm setting a plumb line as a standard in the midst of my people. I'm setting a plumb line as a standard in the midst of my people. And there is something that God is doing in this house where He is setting a standard. He is setting a standard in place. He's bringing a divine alignment. He's laying a plumb line. It's like a divine order in the realm of the Spirit. It's a divine kingdom order that God is just, He is setting it in place. Causing all things to come into alignment. And you know when things come into alignment, I'm going to tell you what happens. There's a lot of joy. There's a lot of divine health. There's a lot of blessing. There's a lot of prosperity. There's a lot of God when things come into divine alignment. It's like a plumb line. A plumb line is a standard that it's an instrument that's used to test even like, you know, the straightness of walls. It just is there to see, you know, how in order is the structure of a building that's being built. That's what plumb lines are used for, to test the structure of what's being built, the house that's being built. And God has His plumb line shoot straight right in this house. This house is being built by the hand of God. This house is being built by the hand of God. So I saw that plumb line, and then the next thing I saw, I went from one vision to the next. The next vision I saw, and it was a glorious vision. As we were all worshiping, I saw the throne of God right here. I saw the throne room this morning. I saw the throne room. I saw the throne of God with this beautiful river flowing out from the throne. And it flowed out through this whole place. And as we were worshiping God, suddenly we were all in the river worshiping God. The river flowing from the throne in His throne room. And I had this sense of two worlds, almost two dimensions coming together as one. Like here we are in the natural worshiping God, but I saw us in the throne room. I saw us standing in the river of life that flows from the throne of God. And as we were in the river of God, He was washing, He was filling, He was renewing, He was restoring. All things were becoming new in this place of the throne room of God. In this place of the living waters of God. And then I went to the scripture. He showed me Revelation 22. He showed me the river whose waters give life. You want life? You want abundant life? Get in the river of God. That's where abundant life is. Sparkling like crystal, flowing out from the throne of God and the Lamb. Through the middle of the broad way of the city, also on either side of the river, was the tree of life with its 12 varieties of fruit, yielding fruit, its fresh crop, praise God. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing and restoration, healing and restoration, healing and restoration. Oh, praise God. There shall no longer exist there anything that is accursed, nothing foul, nothing offensive, nothing impure, nothing hateful. But the throne of God. Look, that's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom. Nothing detestable, nothing foul, nothing offensive, nothing hateful, just God. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall worship Him. They shall see His face. and his name will be on their foreheads. Get ready, Father's house. You're going to see the face of God. Get ready. Get ready. You're going to see his face. You're going to see his face. And there shall be no more night. They will have no need for a lamplight or sunlight, for the Lord God will illuminate them and be their light. You're going to be like bright shining lamps. That is your destiny in this house. You are a bright shining lamp. You are going to illuminate the presence of God, illuminate the glory of God. Oh, Lord. And they, look, the Lord God will illuminate them. You are going to be so full of the light of God. There's not going to be one tiny bit of darkness in you at all. You are going to bring terror to the camp of the enemy. You're going to bring terror to him. Because when he looks at you, all he's going to see is the brilliant light of God. The brilliant, pure light of God. He's not going to see any darkness in you at all. And they shall reign as kings forever and ever. You're going to reign as kings. I'm telling you, there's an anointing on you. You are going to rule. You are going to reign as kings. It's a kingly, ruling, reigning anointing where you have all authority over every work of the enemy. From the throne room, you reign as a king. In the river of God that flows from his throne, as you are illuminated with his presence, you rule and reign as kings. Oh, hallelujah. And you know what happens when a king comes in? They roll out the red carpet. There's favor on kings. Come on now, you're going to have kingly favor on your life. You're going to have kingly favor on you today. It's like there's going to be an anointing in your hands like magnets that just attract the blessing of God. You're just going to attract. You're going to be a magnet for favor, a magnet for God's blessing. The blessing of this season will outnumber the blessing of the last season. There's a multiplied blessing coming upon you. An overflowing blessing coming upon you. It's going to be greater than your past season. Oh, hallelujah. You're going to be overcome, overtaken, overcome and overtaken by the blessing of God. After one blessing comes, there's going to come another blessing. And after that blessing comes, there's going to come another blessing. And after you recover from that blessing, there's going to come another blessing. And after you recover from that blessing, there's going to come another blessing. Blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. It's going to overtake you, overcome you, overwhelm you. It's a season where you're going to be overwhelmed by the goodness and blessing of God. Because there's a plumb line. Because there's an open heaven. Because there's a throne room that you dwell in. There's a throne room. There's a river that you live in. Where the blessings of God overflow. And are abundant in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Shakarabanda. Shakarabanda. It's the year of the overflowing blessing. It's the year of the favor of the king. It's the year of the favor of the king. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Wow. It's the year of brand new beginnings. Brand new beginnings. Brand new beginnings. Where he truly is making all things new. He is. In that place of the throne where the river flows, he restores, he heals, he makes new. He washes, he makes everything new. And that's what God is doing. It's like I see a clean slate. God is just saying, clean slate, clean slate, clean slate. Today it's a clean slate. He's making all things new. New, new, new. I like that word, reset. Come on, he's resetting. Psh, resetting the clock. Resetting your health. Resetting your finances. Resetting your vision. Resetting your soul. Resetting your heart. Resetting your spirit. Resetting your mind. Resetting your family. He's resetting everything. Resetting your marriage. Resetting your children. Oh, hallelujah. Mm. Whoa. Yes. Kings, kings, kings. I just can't get away from that. Kings. There's kings rising up in this place. There's kings rising up. You're going to rule and reign as kings. Oh, you're going to abide in the river. You're going to abide. It's not going to be a temporary thing. You're going to abide in the river. You're going to abide in the throne room. It's like two dimensions coming together in one. It's like you're here on the earth, but you're in the throne room, and that's just where you're going to live from. You're just going to live from the throne room. You're just going to live from the throne room. The river restores. It restores. It restores. It restores. This is a year. This is a year where you're going to see divine restoration of all things lost. God says you're going to see divine restoration of all things lost. Divine restoration. Total restoration. Spirit, soul, body, and mind. Total restoration. Oh, hallelujah. Your heart is going to be so restored. Your soul is going to be so restored. Your mind is going to be so restored. Your flesh is going to be restored. Your body is going to be restored. Everything restored in your life. Made better than before. Oh yeah. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. It says, as each of you, now look, you're not going to keep this to yourself. Okay? You're ruling as kings, operating from a plumb line, operating in restoration, operating with the overflow of blessing, and you're not going to keep it to yourself. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each of you has received a gift, a spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment, employ it for one another as befits good trustees of God's many-sided grace. Be faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor. You have received a gift. Employ it for others. Employ it for one another. Use it for one another. This is not a season to hide your gift away. This is a season to boldly give your gift away. As good stewards, as trustees of God. And you know what a steward is. You know what a trustee is. They are given property, or they are given authority to manage the finances of another person. That's what a steward is. They're given authority to manage the property and finances of another individual. And the Bible clearly says we are stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. We are stewards of the multidimensional grace of God, which means it's God's property, but He has entrusted us with those things, with those gifts, not to hide away, but to employ them, to invest them. Why? For the purpose of multiplication for other people. That's what it means to be a steward. It's not a time to hide your gift away. Come on now. It is not a time to take that talent, that vision, that dream that God has given you and bury it somewhere because of fear. Now let's talk about the investment of stewardship. When you're a steward, a good steward invests to multiply. A bad steward hides away out of fear. Now, you know, if you've studied anything about financial investment, you understand the scale of risk. You understand there are those that invest conservatively, those that invest aggressively. There's a whole risk. There's a whole scale of risk, right? Right? And you know, the higher you go in aggressive investing, the higher the risk is in the natural. But I have a good word for you today. God has given you a spiritual talent that he wants you to invest so that it multiplies. But when you invest what God has given you into other people, here's the awesome thing. You can't lose. Here's the thing. When you invest what God has given you, when you employ the gift God has given you for somebody else, you can't lose. When you invest your life, you invest your love, you invest your heart, you invest the grace of God that he's given to you, the gift that he's given to you, it will only multiply. So what does that mean? That means you can be an aggressive investor. Come on now, this is the season to be an aggressive investor. Be an aggressive investor. Don't hold back. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let insecurity stop you. Don't let rejection stop you. Don't let these things stop you. Don't let fear of man stop you. Take the gift God has given you and invest it in others. Give it away. Give it away. Give your gift away. The more you give your gift away, the more it multiplies, the more it increases. Oh, hallelujah. You're going to be aggressive investors. You're going to know your gift. You're going to embrace your gift. You're going to love your gift. You're going to stop comparing yourself to somebody else. You're going to stop looking at someone else's gift. You're going to stop saying, God, I wish I had that gift, and hide your own gift away. No, you're going to get your eyes off of everybody else. You're going to love who God has made you to be. You're going to embrace your place in the kingdom of God. You're going to identify your gifts and invest them in others for the sake of the body of Christ. People need your gift. People need your gift. You may say, well, I don't know. People need me. Yes, they need you. People need you. The body needs you. We all need each other. God has all given us gifts for one another. We need each other. And if we hide our gift away, someone's being deprived of the amazingness that's on the inside of you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we're going to be good trustees. Hallelujah. Everyone say good trustee. Good steward. This is a year for good stewardship. Really, really good stewardship. If God has spoken something to you in the past season and you've been delaying, it's time for no more delay. It's time to stop procrastinating, stop making excuses, and begin to do what God has called you to do. Oh, yes. Good stewards. We're going to be good stewards on several levels. We're going to be good stewards of the gifts that God has given us, the grace that God has given us, the anointing he's given us. We're also going to be good stewards of our heart. You have to be a good steward of your heart, a good steward of your soul, a good steward of your emotions. And I'm going to read this scripture in 1 Peter 4. It says in verse 7, the end and culmination of all things has now come near. Keep sound-minded and self-restrained and alert, therefore, for the practice of prayer. It says sound-minded, self-restrained, and alert for the practice of prayer. Now, to be sound-minded, I'm going to give you some quick definitions. Sound-minded means to be free from injury or disease, free from flaw or defect or decay, free from error or fallacy, showing good judgment and sense, having a sound mind. God is giving you a sound mind. Your thinking is going to be free from error. You're going to have good judgment in the spirit. You're going to be free from any decay in your thinking. You're going to have a sound mind. And you're going to have self-restraint. Self-restraint basically means self-control. by the power of the grace of God, you are not going to do things you shouldn't do. You are not going to do the things your flesh wants to do. But you're going to have self-restraint in your spirit, self-restraint in your thinking, self-restraint in your behavior and in your attitudes. And self-restraint in your emotions. It is so important. The Bible says, have a sound mind, have self-restraint, be alert. Why? For the purpose of prayer. So you stay connected to God. So you don't lose that connection with God. As we go into this year, let's just make the decision today. God, I'm going to have a sound mind. My mind is going to be set upon the Word of God. My mind is going to be set on truth. Any thoughts that try to intrude my mind that do not line up with the truth of God's Word, I take authority over it, I take it captive, and I cast it down. I don't tolerate error. I don't tolerate anything that does not line up with the plumb line of God. Any thought that the enemy tries to inject, if it doesn't line up with God's plumb line, it's out. I have a sound mind. I have self-restraint over my soul. I have self-restraint over my emotions. God in this hour really wants us to learn how to manage our hearts well. He wants us to know how to manage our emotions well so that we don't get distracted from prayer, distracted from God, distracted from His presence, from His peace, and from His joy. Because you know, if the enemy can't hit you directly, if he can't hit you directly because you are insulated in the glory of God, he will try to hit people around you. I'm telling you, he will try to stir up tornadoes around you. Oh, praise God. As me and Stephanie launched a few days ago into this year, I tell you, on New Year's Eve, we're sitting in our home, and all of a sudden, as the clock strikes 12, the presence of God comes upon both of us, fills our house. The next day, our whole home is filled with the glory of God all day long. It's just like God said, okay, here you go. Happy New Year. Boom. Here's my glory. Here's my presence. And God was just setting the course for the new year. Then by the next day, as we are surrounded by glory, whirlwind over here, whirlwind over there, whirlwind over here. And I'm like, in the name of Jesus, I cut off all the whirlwinds. And I make a bold declaration, this year is a year of no drama. The drama of last year can't come into this year. Come on now, just say no more drama. No more drama. Last year's drama ain't coming into this year. You can be dramatic, but your drama is not becoming my drama. Your attitude is not becoming my attitude. Because I'm going to steward my soul. I'm going to steward my heart. I'm going to steward my emotions. I'm not going to let your drama stress me out and distract me from what God has called me to do. I don't have time for drama. I don't have time for distraction. I don't have time for a whole day of my thought life and my emotions to be consumed with your attitude. Come on now, look, we just got to make the choice. Your attitude is not going to rob my life. Your behavior is not going to rob the condition of my soul. Your unsanctified flesh. Your unsanctified flesh is not going to rob my soul. You can stay in your pit. You can stay in your offense. You can stay in what you're in. But I ain't staying there. I ain't abiding there. I'm not going to dwell there. Conflict is not my dwelling place. Anger is not my dwelling place. Frustration is not my dwelling place. Anxiety is not my dwelling place. God is my dwelling place. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my source. And you just got to make that decision. I am going to manage my heart. I'm going to manage my soul. And I'm not going to let these things distract me. Because that is the assignment of the enemy. To try to bring distraction. God wants to speak to you. He wants to give you direction. He wants to give you the fullness of His presence. And all of a sudden you're pulled over here. You're pulled over there. And God's like, nope. I shut the door. Drama, 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 drama. Shut it. You ain't following me. You ain't following me. Oh, come on now. manage, sound mind, self-restraint over your soul. Self-restraint over, look, emotions are great. God created us with emotions. He gave us emotions. We are created by God with emotions. Emotions are wonderful. But emotions are not wonderful when they start controlling you. Emotions are not wonderful when they start controlling you more than the Holy Spirit or more than the Word of God. So part of being self-restrained is when you feel something, not just acting on it. And look, we are all a work in progress and we are all learning how to manage our emotions so they don't control us. Okay? Every day is another life lesson. Look, you may not have a PhD, but praise God, every single day you are in life lessons. You are getting a PhD in life. Praise God. And you got to learn how to manage your soul. One of the ways to manage your soul. Oh, here it is. 1 Peter 3:9. Get ready. Here it is. Never return evil for evil or insult for insult. Oh, never return a tongue lashing for a tongue lashing. But on the contrary, blessing. Oh, here you go. Here you go. Here's how you're going to manage your soul this year. Praying for their welfare, their happiness, and their protection, and truly pitying them and loving them. Oh, yeah. The people that berate you, the people that loose evil against you, the people that talk bad about you, the people that give you a bad attitude, the people that behave badly towards you. You're not going to return evil for evil. You're not going to get in that web. You're not going to get in that trap. You are going to release blessing. No matter how much you want them to reap what they are sowing, you're going to pray happiness on them. I'm telling you, it's how you manage your soul. Look, I have prayed. Look, sometimes we start praying in the flesh and we get in the spirit. I have prayed, oh God, I just really want them to reap what they sow, God. I just, Lord, I pray a reaping in the name of Jesus. And I have prayed reaping at times. And then God's like, no, pray blessing. Pray for their happiness. I'm like, God, I don't want them to be happy. I want them to reap it. Yeah. And sometimes I feel that way, God. I want them to reap it. I don't want them to be happy. But God's like, pray blessing. Pray for these things. Why? For you know that to this you have been called, that you may yourself inherit a blessing. So when you pray blessing on people that don't deserve it, you're setting yourself up for an inheritance. You're setting yourself up for inheritance and blessing to come to you. Every single time you pray blessing on someone that doesn't deserve it, it increases the blessing on your life. And you manage your soul at the same time. For let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days, how many want to enjoy your life? How many of you don't want to have a miserable life? You don't want to have a depressed life, a stressed out life, an anxious life? You don't want that kind of life. You want to have a good life. You want to enjoy your life. It says this, keep his tongue from evil. Oh, Jesus. Here's your breakthrough. When you want to say something, sometimes you just need to shut your mouth. Sometimes when someone is coming at you and you feel that thing rising up on the inside of you and you just want to boom, you just want to let it go. You just want to let it rip. That's when you have to learn self-restraint over your soul, self-restraint over your mouth. This is a huge part of breakthrough. So that you'll have a good day. So that you'll enjoy your life. Look, when you're getting all upset, all anxious, all mad, all whatever, you're not enjoying yourself. You're not having a good day. God wants us to have a good life. He wants us to enjoy our life. But part of that is learning to keep our tongue from evil. Oh, praise the Lord. Have you ever had someone do something? And you just start talking about it. Just start talking about it. And the more you talk about it, the bigger it gets. And the bigger it gets, the more stressed out you get. And before you know it, you look at your watch, 2 hours have passed by, and you are still talking about it. Now it's the afternoon. Now it's the nighttime. You're about to go to bed, and you're still talking about it. Still talking about what that person did. Still talking about what they're doing. And the hard part is when they don't change. When they don't change or that thing doesn't change, you have constant material to talk about. Because if they would just change, you wouldn't have to talk about it anymore. I mean, if they would change, you'll get your breakthrough. But that's not where breakthrough starts, because if you wait for someone else to change, you're going to be waiting a really long time. If you wait for another person's heart to get right, you're going to be waiting a really long time. But this is where you become responsible for your soul. You become responsible for your heart. You become responsible for yourself. And then the Bible says this. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Peter 4:8, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins. It forgives and disregards the offenses of others. Well, how many times do I have to forgive? 70 times 7. In other words, there is no number. There's no number. Have intense and unfailing love. Look, unfailing love. I like how the Bible says that. Unfailing love. Love never fails. Love keeps you free. Love keeps you whole. Love keeps you above rather than under. Love keeps you insulated in God. Love keeps your heart unoffendable. Oh, that's what love does. The divine love of God will keep your heart unoffendable. It'll help you rip up the list. Look, this year, as we start this year, I know it may be hard. Rip up the lists. Clear the slate. The list you've been carrying around in your back pocket that you pull out every so often and read through all the offenses that have happened to you. Rip the list up. Rip them up. Clear the slate. No matter how justified you are in holding on to that list, it's for the purpose of your own soul. It's for the purpose of your own heart. It's so that you are not weighed down by anything that will try to hinder you from going where God wants you to go. And the Lord spoke this recently to me. You know, the Lord spoke this recently. He said, Matt, you are only responsible to love fervently. You are not responsible for how other people respond to your love. You're not even responsible for if they reciprocate that love. You're only responsible for your own heart. And if you steward your heart well, I'll take care of everything else. Even if it looks like that person isn't changing, so that your heart can be free from that offense, love. Choose to love. Choose to bless. Choose to forgive. And when it rises up again, forgive again. And it rises up again, forgive again. So that you steward your heart. You steward your soul. You steward your spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. Intense love. Unfailing love. Now you just got to think on that for a second. Just got to think on that for a moment. Oh, hallelujah. Everyone that's hurt you. Everyone that's mistreated you, everyone that's given you an attitude, even if it's a family member, because you can't always get away from family members, praise God. You are not responsible for how other people respond to your love. Because you may love someone, and they may be so hard-hearted, they don't respond. That's not your problem. It's not your responsibility. You're just responsible to obey God.
You're just responsible to obey God.
And you know, it's a really good thing as we come into this year, clear the lists, clear the slate. If there's anyone you need to forgive, forgive them. Even if you got to send someone a text and say, hey, I love you, I'm here, the door's always open. If you ever need anything, I'm here. Even if that's you stewarding your heart, no matter what, no matter where that person's at. Yeah, everyone get out your day. Everyone's texting right now. No, but sometimes you have to take that step to clear your own heart. I've had something, you know, a situation in my own life where the Lord said, you just need to send that person a text and just tell them you love them. And you are always here and the door is always open if they ever need anything. Now, whatever that person does with that is up to them. But I know between me and God, I steward my heart. I walk in love, I walk in forgiveness, and that's it. Hallelujah. Let God deal with the rest. Let God deal with the rest. Oh, let's see what else is in here. Oh, there's something else good in here. There's something else good in here. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved. Oh, I love it. Beloved. Said in all love and tenderness. Beloved, don't be amazed or bewildered or confused at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality. As though something strange and unusual were happening to you. Have you ever said, God, why is this happening to me? God, why is this happening? This strange, fiery trial, this struggle, this battle, whatever. God, why is this happening? God says, don't be confused. It's testing your quality. Oh, quality has to be tested. How many of you don't like to buy junk? You want quality. You want something quality. Lasts longer. You know, you get what you pay for. You want good quality. Well, quality has to be tested. And I think this year, we should just kind of make a decision where we say, God, I want to be a quality person. I want to be gold, not plastic. Come on now. I'm going to tell you the difference. Gold, authentic, plastic, fake. Oh, hallelujah. Come on now, don't get me preaching on this. Don't get me preaching on this. God wants authentic, authentic Christians. Authentic. Not plastic. Have you ever met a plastic person? Oh, this is where sometimes I just have to take a step back and I say, God, why is this unbeliever acting more like Jesus than this Christian? God, what is wrong with this picture? God doesn't want us to be plastic. You know what plastic is? Plastic is when you're like, oh, hello, brother. You're so amazing. And then the second they turn around, oh, I can't stand that person. That is called plastic. It's called unauthentic. God wants us to be authentic, which means real, genuine. That's what authentic means, real and genuine. God wants us to be real and genuine in our heart, in our relationships, in our Christianity. Don't be fake. You don't gotta be fake. I don't believe there's any fake people in here today, but I'm just saying it anyway for maybe someone watching online. Don't be fake. Stop being fake. Stop telling someone you love them and then talking about them behind their back. Just stop it. Authentic quality. Don't think it's strange. Your quality is being tested. Oh, but here's the good news. But insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, rejoice. You ever read a scripture and you're like, what? Get really happy that you're suffering. Rejoice! So that when His glory, full of radiance and splendor, is revealed, you may also rejoice with triumph. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of glory, is resting upon you. That's the end of verse 14. If you're censored, if you suffer abuse, the name of Christ, blessed are you. Oh, to be envied with life joy, regardless of the outward condition. Because the Spirit of glory is resting on you. Look, when the Spirit of glory rests on you, don't expect everyone to love you. When the Spirit of God is truly resting on your life, you are not going to please everyone. Especially in the world, people are going to think you're crazy. You have a standard they don't have. You have belief systems they don't have. They're going to think you are crazy. And if you are living your life trying to blend in with the crowd, trying to fit in with the world, you're in the wrong camp, okay? You cannot blend in with the crowd and fit in with the world. When the Spirit of glory rests on you, you will not always be understood. Sometimes you will be judged. You will be maligned. You will suffer when the Spirit of glory truly rests on you. People won't always understand you. But you have to stop living your life for the opinion of man, for the praises of man. You just gotta die to the praise of man and live for the praise of God. Live for the pleasure of God. Oh, hallelujah. So every time you have suffered for a standard you have taken, every time you have suffered for being a Christian, for having the presence of God in your life, rejoice, be happy. Bless, don't curse. Rejoice. Your quality. Quality. Everyone say quality. How many want to be a quality Christian? Substance. You want to be a person of substance. You want to be real, authentic. When people see you, they see Jesus. When people encounter you, they encounter Jesus. But we are going to be good stewards this year. Everything God has trusted you with, He has trusted you with His love. You're going to steward His love. He's trusted you with His gift. You're going to steward His gift. He has entrusted you with His blessings. You're going to steward His blessings. Everything. You're going to invest your life in others. You're going to freely give what God has freely given you. And it's for the purpose of multiplication. Multiplication. Everything you invest multiplies. Everything. Every gift that's in you that you invest in another person, it's going to multiply. Steward your heart this year. Steward your soul. Steward the gifts. Steward your spirit. Steward your mind. Steward your emotions. Steward. Because as a good steward, you will see abundant multiplication in your life. And no matter what happens around you, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. Because you're called to blessing. You're called to blessing. You are called to be a walking blessing. You're going to be a walking blessing. And can I tell you what happens when you're a walking blessing? Blessing comes to you. When you're a walking blessing, blessing comes to you. I'm going to tell you one more story. Me and Stephanie were flying here to Houston this week. So we get into the airport. We're getting our car rental. And I go up to the car rental. A nice lady behind the desk, and she's like, oh, sir, would you like an upgrade? Would you like a better car? And I'm like, is it free? You always got to ask. You have not because you ask not. So I'm like, is it free? And she looked at me, and she's like, sir, I don't give nothing for free. I don't give nothing for free. And then she's like, Merry Christmas. So now I have a big smile on my face. Look, you win more with sweetness. And I have a big smile on my face, and she's like, well, Merry Christmas. I don't give nothing for free. Merry Christmas. Christmas is over. She said, Christmas is over. Yeah. So then I looked at her and I said, well, Happy New Year. And she goes hysterically laughing. She thought it was the funniest thing. She goes hysterically laughing. Oh, Happy New Year. Then she spends another minute on the computer, hands me my keys, and she says, sir, here's your free upgrade. And you know what she said? She said, because you are so fun and so happy, here's your free upgrade. You see, when you steward blessing, blessing comes to you. And she went, within 1 minute, she went from, you ain't getting nothing, to here's your free upgrade. Within 1 minute. Oh yeah, you be a good steward of God's joy, you be a good steward of His presence, and I'm telling you, it will attract blessing, it'll attract favor, it just will. It just will. And if people don't like your joy, they will be so miserable in their misery, but you will make them so jealous that they will want what you have. Amen. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy, happy New Year. I love that declaration, even just in and of itself. Happy New Year. Not miserable New Year. Not depressed New Year. Happy New Year. Not just barely survive New Year. Oh God, I hate my life New Year. No, Happy New Year. And that is a choice. That is 100% a choice. If you wait for everything to be perfect in your life before you say Happy New Year, you will never say Happy New Year. It is a it is 100% a choice you make. This is a Happy New Year. This is a good new year. This is a blessed new year. This is your posture this year. Drama over there. Attitude over there. Oh, no, 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 no. I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. You are lowering me into an argument. Oh, hallelujah. And here's another little key before I say amen for the second time. Another little key. This little thing called texting. Never confront by text. If you got to communicate with someone that even if it has slightly sensitive nature to it, do not send a text message. If you want everything to blow up, send a text message. Or email. But usually it's a text message. Or maybe an email. If something is slightly confrontative, slightly that needs discussion, do not send an email or text. Just stop it. Because it's like setting bombs off all around. Text bomb, text bomb, text bomb. And before you know it, everything's blowing up and there's drama. That's a little tip for someone. Praise the Lord. Oh, I learned that lesson in my own life. I learned that lesson. Oh, no, 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 no. Sometimes you got to learn the hard way, but you learn. Anyway. Where's baby? Oh, that's, this is not baby. Okay, that's not. Hey, baby. Oh, baby. We had a gender reveal party a week ago, and we did this game, changing a baby's diaper, right? So Stephanie won by 3 seconds. She beat me by 3 seconds. So I said, you won the game. You win the opportunity to change the baby's diaper. You are better at it than I am. Praise God. But I'll learn. I don't know what I did. You can see it on my Facebook page or Instagram. I just ripped the diaper off, threw it behind me. And so it's like, oh no, it's not the way you do it. I'm just like, come on, diaper, get off. You know? I'll learn not to do that. But we're super, super excited. New baby coming along, and you know, as we're now launching into this year, we're so excited. Just different things God is doing. Now in our Rescue One outreach, we're up to 180 children that are in full care, 180 now. And we're working behind the scenes right now. We're in the process of building a home in Mexico. It will be the first of its kind that is a home specifically for young boys, young boy children that have been rescued out of sex trafficking in Mexico. It'll be the first home of its kind. So Rescue One is endeavoring that. And so we're expanding India, Philippines, now Mexico this year. And we're just going nonstop. It's going to keep going. And so it's wonderful. Thank you guys. You're awesome. I love Father's House. I love Father's House. I love being here. I love fellowshipping, worshiping with you, just hanging out with you. And I'll pass this back over to LaRue, and then hallelujah.
Oh, let's give God glory for that.